move away from Luke this morning, just today. Jeremiah 35. We've been going through Jeremiah on Wednesday nights, and it's good stuff. It's a lot, big book there. But Jeremiah 35, Jeremiah's going to give an illustration to a nation that is really, it's God's nation, and they have the God of the Bible as their God. Really, the Lord is the one that created the nation of Israel, gave them the laws and holidays and all that stuff. And by the time Jeremiah is a prophet, the nation has so thoroughly backslidden and rejected their God that God's allowing the Babylonians to come in and to essentially destroy the nation and scatter the people. And right before all that goes on, one of the things that Jeremiah does as his preaching ministry is he's going to illustrate a relationship between the nation of Israel and their God, and relate that to a particular religious sect of people that are in Israel. They're called the Rechabites, and this is something that God as a father is not a. It's not a. A I should say it this way. It's not a church age idea. God as a father is an idea that goes back to Old Testament and the nation of Israel. And so that some of these things that we think are peculiar to us or our generation or something like that, we need to go back and read some Old Testament, because a lot of this stuff comes from the Old Testament. And so that's the idea, that God is the father of the nation. And so the people of God, these are the children of God, and the illustration Jeremiah is going to make is within this nation, there is this group of the sect of people that were about 200 years old by the time Jeremiah prophesies here. And this particular group or this particular tribe or family of people called the Rechabites, it's kind of like a conservative group, but it's not necessarily conservative. They abstain from wine. They are nomadic people, and they sort of cut off any kind of a mourning sort of group of people. It's just kind of a mourning, as in weeping, and they're just sort of a sober group of people and family. And this tradition has continued for a couple hundred years, all because their father Jonadab said to them, "I want you to live in tents. I want you to abstain from wine and some other things." But essentially, they followed their father for a couple centuries. By the time, like I said, Jeremiah uses them as an illustration here, they've been honoring their father for a couple hundred years. And so Jeremiah takes this group. When Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, starts to siege Jerusalem, these Rechabites, nomadic people, they're just wandering around. They head to Jerusalem for safety. And they head to Jerusalem, and then when they're in Jerusalem, Jeremiah is told to get the Rechabites, bring them in front of the people, take them to the temple, take them to the house of God, and make an illustration. And the illustration is, these people have managed to honor their father, who is an earthly man, who's a man. His ideas don't necessarily all come from God, but they've managed to honor their father. How much more should you be honoring your father? And so this is the illustration. And so I've kind of given away the application of this thing. But let's go through the story. Let's go through what happens here. And so Jeremiah 35 is where this illustration occurs. And it says, starting in verse 1, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdala, the man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. We have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear that the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem. So this is the illustration. You've got this very, let's say, conservative group of people, this religious sect, a family, that is honoring the wishes and the commandments of Jonadab, their father. And so they're going to be put on display. And this is really the first part of this section here. And the Rechabites are put on display for their faithfulness to their forefather. And so Jeremiah is instructed, gather them up, make an illustration of these faithful people. So he gathers up these Rechabites, sets them before, in the house of the Lord, before the people, and he gets out the wine, he gets out cups, you know, I don't know if it's solo cups or whatever he's getting out, but he gets out the cups, and you know, not to be too casual with it, but he kind of plays bartender, so to speak. I mean, the point of this is not alcohol. That's not the point of this. The point of this is honoring your father. That's the point. So I'm not gonna chase down if this is what he's doing. Jeremiah is told, present wine to these people and have them drink. And they say, after he presents the wine, they say, well, we can't do that. And so there's an exchange of why we can't do that. Our forefathers told us not to do this. They told us to be nomadic people. They told us to wander around. They told us don't plant anything. Don't harvest anything. Essentially be nomadic people so that you live long in the land. And so that's the idea. So with that all established, I want to set forth a couple thoughts right off the bat here. The text, the Lord nor Jeremiah never affirm or say that Jonadab's instructions are good or bad. Because that's not the point. He never says, and they told him don't drink wine, and so, you know, that was the good instruction that they were, that's not the point. You're never told that being a nomadic people, or being isolationist, or being separated from the crowd, is a good thing. You're not, there's no moral value to the particular instruction. The moral value to what's happened here is the fact that they listened to their father. And they've continued to listen to their father for years. So right off the bat, because people would go to this and talk about the instructions and this is what we should follow and we should be doing this. The instructions aren't the point. The honoring of the father is the point. And so you don't get a moral analysis of whether what he said is good or whether what he said is bad. And so, or the fact that God never set these rules. God didn't tell anybody else you have to do it this way. You need to go live in tents. You need to not drink wine. You need to not plant. You need to not do this. God didn't say any of those things. The man that said this was a guy named Jonadab. And he had a reason for saying it. And so, you need to understand this. And when you understand some of these things about what Jeremiah is doing, it helps you understand a little bit about the character of God and what he values. For instance, honor thy father and mother is one of the Ten Commandments. That's a basic instruction. And I mean, we can, as parents, help that or hinder that. We can give instruction that doesn't have any value, and we can train our children to dishonor. We can, you just throw out commandments and don't do this, don't do this, and all your words mean nothing, and they mean less and less as you keep giving commandments without any teeth to them. And so, as parents, we can do that, and Jeremiah is going to use this as an illustration for really the whole nation. Get this in your mind and understand that the particular instructions don't necessarily come from God, because that's not the point. Understand that. So why doesn't Jeremiah set the Rechabites in front of the people and say, look, people, y'all should follow what they're doing. You should go live in tents too. You should stop harvesting. You should stop, drinking wine. You should stop all these things. Jeremiah doesn't do that, again, because that's not the point. The point is not the particular instruction. The point is honor your father. That's the point. So Jeremiah, like I said, he puts out the wine, sets it before the Rechabites. They refuse, and they give their reason. They explain their reason. The whole family refuses. And it's not so the Spirit of God can advocate for abstinence or nomadic life or asceticism or any of that stuff. He's not advocating for any of that. And I think you understand it now. But and even if you adopted those things, and even if Israel adopted those things, let's play it hypothetically. Let's say Jeremiah sets them in front of the Rechabites in front of the nation, and the nation says, oh, well, we should start living in tents. Well, because they're blessed by God and they live in tents. That's something we do as Christians. We look at something we think is successful and we think the method was successful, not the Spirit. The Spirit is successful. It's not necessarily the method. It's not necessarily what they're doing or how they're doing it sometimes. It's the spirit of the thing. And the spirit is, we want to honor our Father. That's successful. And that's what the Spirit of God's trying to get over to the nation. So you get the idea. Honor father and mother. This is the commandment at work that's here. And this family, the Rechabite family, they have honored their father for couple hundred years now. And so faithfulness to God's words, here's a good application to this. But faithfulness to God's words looks like a quality of spirit. It looks like a certain spirit. It may not look like exactly what you're doing. I know people go off to these, we're so notorious for this stuff, but kids go off to colleges, or it doesn't have to be Bible colleges, but just people teaching you how to minister or whatever, and they think that it's the method that makes the thing work. Sometimes there's some organizational stuff. Sometimes, yeah, okay, that's it. But then these clones are produced because they think the method is the thing that's working. Well, we want to be like the Rechabites. If we want success, we should go live in tents. We should not be farmers. All that kind of stuff. That's not what makes success. Honoring your father makes success. And so here's what the Lord would do. In this case, let's just take our church, for instance. And the Lord brought in, let's say this, let's say the Lord brings in, or this is an equivalent to what Jeremiah has done. You bring in somebody who you may not agree with. Let's say like a Muslim person. And they come in and they explain to all of us how they pray. Well, you don't pray right. Well, you don't pray right. Well, you don't do this, and you're not praying to the right God. You're not praying this way. The illustration is, well, this person, they may not pray like you pray, or you may not like what they're doing, and they may not even be right. But the point is, they are more dedicated to what they're doing. And that's right. They're more dedicated to what they're doing than people who claim God is their God. Than people who claim to know the only true God. And so while the Israelites are all, well, those are Rechabites. Those people are out there. They're weird, man. They're like, they're Amish people or something. They're weird. Well, these people have the right spirit, though. They honor their father. And I can't even get, Jeremiah is going to say it in a little bit, God can't even get people who claim God as their God to honor Him as a father. How much more should you be honoring God as your father if you say, this is your father? These people have managed to honor a man with human commandments. These aren't God's commandments to live in tents. This is what somebody's opinion about life. And he instructed his children this way, do it this way. And they said, yes, sir, we'll do it this way. And they do it. And this is men, this is sons and daughters and wives and children following a man. And they've managed to do this for a couple centuries. And I can't even get a nation who claims God as their father to listen to me. How much more should you be listening? If this man's commandments are just his opinions, what do you think God, the Creator's commands are? And this is the idea. So after he illustrates this, he brings these Rechabites in and he sets them before the people and you know, offers wine. They explain their situation. They explain their belief system. And it's an illustration. And I can just hear... Baptist people, well, they don't have the right understanding of this, and they don't have the right understanding of that. Apparently, God thought that they had the right understanding about the most important things. Where you're making issues about all of these opinions and these things that don't really make for success with God or a failure with God. They had the right spirit about it. They honored their father. So here's what the Lord does. Verse 12. It says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words? Saith the Lord, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early, speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early, sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings. And go not offer other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. but you've not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. Do you understand the illustration? Here is the contrast. The Rechabites' obedience with the disobedience of Judah. The point is that these folks have obeyed their father, who was a man. In fact, there's a verse in Hebrews, a couple of them, and it says this. It's essentially, do you understand that not every, I'm sure you understand this, but not every instruction, not every decision you make is laid out in the Bible. What color to paint the church walls is not a verse in the Bible. You understand that? What color carpet to lay down is not a verse in the Bible. There are some things that you have to apply principles to. And they're not just laid out. It's not just so that there's some flexibility. So when a man like Jonadab gives instruction to his children, and it's his opinion, this is what I think you should do with your life. That instruction comes from the dad, and so, okay, God doesn't say the instruction's good or bad. You know what's good or bad? Is if you listen. That's good or bad. And so in Hebrews, it says, Paul would say it this way. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. Paul would say it this way. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. You know what that means? That means moms and dads had instructions for their kids that weren't Bible verses. After their own pleasure. You understand that a certain bedtime for your child is not a Bible verse. It may depend on when you go to work. Well, then I need you in bed by 9 o'clock because I got to go to work. That's not a Bible verse. The Bible verse is, are you going to listen to that or are you going to ignore mom and dad? So when Paul cites it and says it in Hebrews, he says, look, they chastened us according to their own pleasure. They had things going on in their lives. They had to make decisions about parenting that weren't Bible verses. They had to say things to us that didn't directly come from God. And we as children just had, that's our role. We're children. We listen. We're supposed to. So some of these things, what does the Bible say about what does the Bible say about bedtimes? What does the Bible say about whatever? I don't know. Pick the thing. Mostly the answer is it doesn't say anything necessarily. They chastened us, Paul would say, they chastened us after their own pleasure, but God chastened us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's the point. Obedience is partaking of the holiness of God. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The illustration, Old Testament, New Testament. These in Hebrews, Paul brings it to the New Testament, says, here's parents, they have rules. They make rules up, and there may not be a Bible verse for every rule, but they're parents, and you're the children. And what do? Your parents take care of you, they feed you, they give you a place to stay and live. They take you to your ball games. They do all these things for you. And what's your job? You listen. You listen. And there may not be a Bible verse for everything they say, but you listen because you're the child. And you obey because you're the child. Now, what happens when God gives instruction? Now we're not just dealing with opinions anymore. Now we're dealing with truth, what's real, what's reality, what's truth, and what's lies and false. And so God gives instruction. And God's not just some man who has a work schedule, who needs you in bed by 9 o'clock. When God gives instruction, that's reality. And so the comparison is pretty simple here. God is a father. Remember, God is a father. For some of you need to understand this. God is a father is an Old Testament concept. That's not a church age, a New Testament concept. That's an Old Testament concept. And so this is the illustration. You, these Rechabites listened to their father. And he gave instruction that wasn't necessarily scripture, but they managed to listen. Now, why can't you listen? You claim God as your father. But you're not going to listen to him. You're not going to honor him as your father. So this is the idea. So in the end of this, the Lord says, because this family honors their father, I am going to give them a place for the foreseeable future. As he said in verse 18, Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father. Was the commandment a divine commandment to live in tents? No. It was just a commandment of the father. But because you've obeyed, now obedience is a commandment of God. Because you've obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. So you see what God honors? And he told you he would honor that all the way back to Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother, that your life will be long in the land and all that kind of thing. So God is going to reward the Rechabites for their faithfulness. Is he going to reward the Rechabites because they live in tents? No. Is he going to reward the Rechabites because they don't drink wine? No. You know why he's going to reward the Rechabites? Because they obeyed their father. And that's what's important to God. That's what's don't get caught up in the methodology and the particular, and that's what we do. It's like, well, they must be successful because they live in tents. No, they're not successful because they live in tents. They're successful because they got the right spirit. They did what God wanted. They obeyed their father. Now, God rewards them. And he says specifically why he rewards them. Because you've obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. So God rewards them for their faithfulness, for their obedience. He promises them that they're going to always have a man standing before God. And this is the reward for their faithfulness and the obedience. And so the contrast, I think you've got it. I mean, it's a very simple illustration, simple point. But so much can be lost in the particulars of all of this stuff. Well, it's because of this. It's because of this. No, it's because of what God said at the very beginning. Honor your father and mother. I approve of that. That's what I approve of. And sometimes, you know, your father and mother are going to have instructions that you can't find a Bible verse to. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Your mom and dad have things to do. And they got to arrange their household the way they need to arrange their household. Your job as a child is to listen. Now, you claim God as your father. You know what your job is? You may not understand everything he's doing. You may not understand all of the rules, bed at 9 o'clock. I know that's not a particular one, but it's just the illustration here. You may not understand all he's doing, but it's your job to understand all he's doing. Your job is to listen and obey. That's it. And if you're willing to listen to earthly moms and dads, how much more should you listen to your heavenly Father, whose instructions are far superior to mom and dad's instructions? I say superior, I mean you're dealing with the Creator. And when He says something, well, you can bank on that. This is true. This is reality. This is real. So Jeremiah takes this group of people. You got the illustration. You understand it to promote one point: obedience. And I find it fascinating. We've done a really good job of this, of separating faithfulness from obedience. And when I read the Bible, I don't see a lot of separation from those two things. The illustration is this family, they didn't just remember their father. They were practicing a tradition that their father set in motion. And because they're practicing the tradition, yeah, traditions are bad. Some traditions are no good. Some traditions are okay. It's not about all that stuff. The point is they're obeying. And God equates that with faithfulness. And He says, if they can be faithful, why don't you be faithful to someone who's far superior than that? So you get the idea. It's a simple illustration. It would have been interesting to be there. But the question, one simple question, and I think it would do you and I well. Because we can be really, really judgmental and critical people. Well, they don't believe like us. They don't believe that. And they're off on this. And they're off on their prophecy. And they're off on this. And they're off on that. Some of those people that you all say and we say, well, they're off on this, are a lot more faithful people. They got a prayer life. They're devoted to one who they say is God, even if maybe they're wrong. The Rechabites, kind of outsiders, people that don't mix well with the group. I can just hear the Israelites complaining. Who are those? You know, those people got it wrong. They got this wrong. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing here. The point is, they've listened to their dad. Why don't you? Why don't you? That's the point. The God, the Creator of all things, who you say is your Father, where's His honor? Where's His honor? I know Sam's not here to play, so this is what I will do. I'm going to pray. And maybe just sit here just for a little time of silence. Think about this, not too long. But think about this illustration. Think about this illustration. And how God uses people and what God values. He tells you what He values. He tells you what's important to Him. We kind of get lost in some of the details of things and miss the big picture of it. But if you want to bow your heads, close your eyes, I'll give you a couple of minutes to reflect on these things and this simple illustration of obedience and faithfulness that Jeremiah produces in front of the people here. Give you a few minutes here. Father, I thank You so much for this time together. I pray we would learn. These ancient illustrations are so appropriate today. And when we find people who aren't like us, but are more obedient to your commands, and I mean, just like the Israelites, I'm sure they got their complaints about the Rechabites, but it doesn't really matter because you're going to honor the Rechabites because they honored their father. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with all these claims that come out of our mouths about you being our Lord and God and Creator, and this is the Word of God and all that. Pray we'd honor that stuff that we say and that we say we believe. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Pray that you'd help us with these things. We need your help. We need your direction. We need your guidance. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us with these things. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning. Thank you for your words. Thank you for this light. And I pray you'd help us this week apply what we learn and what we know. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. You're dismissed.